This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Nate Williams, director of the Murfreesboro Parks and Rec, in studio with us this morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. So what all is going on within the parks? I know this is a busy time of the year.
We're just jumping right into it, aren't we? Thank you for the...
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on. No, it's a busy time of year. I feel like I say that every time we're on, though. It's a busy time of year because it really is a busy time of year pretty much year-round. But this is a fun week for us. So we opened our pool. Bart and his team out at SportsCom have done a tremendous job. We've got Bart here with us, going to talk a little bit about what's happening on 4th of July, all that's going on. And, you know, our parks are just staying full right now. We've got a lot of places that are shady. Even though it's hot outside, you can get outside early or late and avoid some of the heat. But like I said, this is a fun time for us. Next week is 4th of July, and we don't shy away from doing a lot of fun things. It's one of the things we look forward to most. And we'll be hosting thousands of people at Borough Beach, and then later in the evening, thousands and thousands and thousands of people at the fountains for our celebration under the stars this year. And this year we're going to have Craig Campbell. Now after that, that's all she wanted to do. Country music, and we're really excited.
And he lives in Rutherford County.
Yeah, he lives in Eagleville, owns a restaurant in Eagleville. Super nice guy.
All of that coming up and already happening, I guess. Yeah. The swimming going on, and then next week, fireworks.
Yeah, swimming. You know, if people don't want to get out in the sun, we've got two indoor pool options we always like to remind people of at SportsCom at Patterson Park. And there's always something to do if people, you know, are listening and they would think, you know, I want to try something with my kids or grandkids or just myself. You can go to MurfreesboroParks.com and see everything that we have to offer, which is over 2,000 acres of parkland and just some awesome parks. We're uniquely supported in Murfreesboro, and parks has, you know, really, I think, over the years of hard work and support by the councils, become one of, you know, the brand opportunities for the city of Murfreesboro that we're proud of, and we're well supported, and we want to do the best we can to provide awesome experiences and facilities for residents of Murfreesboro and people visiting Murfreesboro.
Has the temperature of the outdoor pool heated up yet, or is this the beginning of that swim season to where it's still kind of cool?
Well, it was cool at first, you know, when you first get in, like always at the first of the summer. But now, yeah, it's warmed up, and with so many people swimming and coming out there, it's really warmed up. So we're having huge crowds, especially days like today and last week and this week. You know, we're glad to have them. We've got it fixed up. We've got the slides. You know, we've got the walk-in zero-depth area for the little kids, and we've got a splash pad. So it's really been a good summer for us at the pool. Very good.
And for those who have never been out to the pool before, it is like a water park. I mean, like you said, you have the slides going and the splash pad, all that stuff.
We get a lot of calls from people out of town said, you know, asking about the water park. And it is a water park. It's not a huge water park, but it's got some amenities that are very... people like to come, bring their little kids where they can walk straight in to the zero depth. But it's been very popular, and we max out. We could take 650 in the pool, but that's very crowded, and we've maxed out, you know, a couple of days this year where we have to keep the crowds in, one leave, one come in. But it's been very popular. So, and Nate's here. I'm gonna see if we can get another pool started here, probably in a year or two.
In a year or two. You know, it's different, Scott. I think I've seen in y'all scrapbooks up there the opening of the pool in 1987.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And WGNS was there covering. And I'm sure you went. You're probably...
Oh, yeah, of course. I was there. Yeah. There was a Sundrop truck out there, and they were giving away drinks. I mean, it was a big to-do.
Big to-do, and it was a big rectangle pool that served from 87 to 2011. And then we were fortunate enough to be able to undergo a pretty substantial renovation, and it's just... It's wild to see the difference. But just thinking about the old pool, you had a low dive, then a high dive on both sides. And that was pretty much it. It was busy, but now it's really, really busy.
That's right, because back then you didn't have the water slides. And I'm trying to think, was there even an indoor pool at the time?
There was. SportsCom was built with an indoor pool.
Okay.
It was so just that, the opening of the season, yeah.
But yeah.
I remember uniquely, I had a tough boss that would sit and watch me on the lifeguard stand out there and make sure I was doing my job, Bart.
With binoculars.
With binoculars, yeah.
I was checking on Nate, see if he's doing his job. He did. As you can see where he's come to now.
With the Zinka on the nose, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the pool, it first opened in 1987 and then went through some changes. Now, when were the water slides and all of that added?
2011 is when the slides and everything, 2010, 2011. And since then, it's just been a good operation. You know, our team, Kyle Goss, is our aquatic superintendent, and he does a tremendous job keeping our staff of 70 lifeguards trained and the pools clean. This year, we just did another mini renovation to the outdoor pool where we replastered the whole pool. It just speaks again to the support that we have to, you know, not just get great facilities, but to maintain and protect those facilities and keep them fresh. And our staff work really hard to do everything we can, even with the number of people that we see at our facilities, to keep them.
And we're getting ready to do the indoor pool here this fall. So. Yeah. It'll be like two brand new pools, really. So we're really excited about it.
And of course, just before summer really kicks off, you guys have to go through the big hiring phase, trying to find lifeguards and everything.
Yes, and it's a chore trying to find a lot of people to work. Usually with, used to be if jobs were open, people were lining up the door. But now we're trying to entice people to come in to do the lifeguard training. And can stay with us for years, during the later years of high school and some in college that come back every summer and work for us. So we're fortunate to have a big pool of people to choose from.
You know, people think about lifeguarding, you have to be this tremendous swimmer right off the bat, and it's just not the case. If you can swim decently, you can get trained in exactly the techniques to do it. But I can attest, it's such a great job. So if you have kids or grandkids who are 16 or over looking for a job that's year-round too, because we have, three pools, we go down to two in the off-season, it's very flexible, teaches a lot of responsibility, and you get to work with some awesome people.
Is it harder to find lifeguards today versus, 10, 15 years ago?
It's getting a chore to try to get advertisements out, to get them in, to get them notify their friends and everything. Once a friend gets in, they tell their friends. It helps a lot to get the word about, when we have lifeguard training.
We need a bigger pool too, as far as what it takes, because when I was lifeguarding, there were 13 of us total. Now we have to have 70. Lifeguards.
70 lifeguards.
70
wow.
Lifeguards. Because, the outdoor pool at Sports Com takes quite a few to be up at the same time just to make sure every area is protected. So, we're always looking for lifeguards, but we got a whole host of jobs that are always open so people can look. And if they have any questions about what's up there, we always encourage people, to look at Parks and Recreation. We have a lot of opportunity for various facilities and types of jobs, and every day is different.
So if you get hired on as a lifeguard, what are the steps that have to be taken? I mean, do you take like a Red Cross course in lifeguarding?
We offer those courses. We actually waive the fees of some of those courses for anybody who's going to work for us. So it's pretty simple. And I think we've got pretty much fully staffed now, but I know as the summer goes on, we'll keep on advertising at some point so we can keep our pool open as long as we can.
So if the city were to open a new pool one day, what area would that be built in?
Well, we look at different options. We've got kind of a master plan of different facilities in the next few years. Right now, I'm really focused on Veterans Park. That's something our mayor and council said, keenly focused on, and we're working hard on that. That's on Veterans Parkway. We are almost done with the construction design phase of that. We got our first cost estimate back last week, so we're going to be taking that back to the council and see how we want to move forward. So I'll say that I'm not avoiding your question, but
good.
It kind of sounds like I am though, right? That's really my focus when it comes to a new facility, is getting that park implemented. We have funding, we have it ready to go, we have a desire to make it happen. Then after that, I think we got to look at ball fields. We need more ball fields. And then in the back of our mind, we're constantly looking for a place to potentially add another wellness facility or some type of, a wellness facility with an aquatics element to it. But nothing is set in stone there. And I'd really be getting ahead of myself if I said we were looking at a specific place.
Well, I guess compared to the 80s, a lot of neighborhoods are built these days with a swimming pool and an HOA and all that good stuff. We didn't have that back when SportsCom first opened.
Yeah, there were a few residential pools, and a lot of people came, and it was just, a unique thing back in the 80s to have that size pool, and it created a really interesting competitive swim environment where that grew all over town, and it's been good for the community.
Do a lot of swim teams use the pool?
We have various swim teams that have used it. We partner with a couple that come in early and utilize it, and they also provide swim lessons on our behalf. So we have a partnership with them where they use their WSIs to teach swim lessons, and it's worked out pretty good for us.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what a WSI
Water
is.
Safety instructor.
Oh, there we go.
I'm sorry.
It's code.
I'm getting fancy here, Scott.
So SportsCom, it is open now for the season. And what time in the morning does that open up?
We open at 6 a.m. In the morning, which is early, but we do have a lot of early birds there ready to get come in at 6, work out. And some of them, you know, work out and then go on to work. Some of them stay around, have a cup of coffee and talk and socialize. But try to make it kind of a family atmosphere and, you know, fun, enjoyment, a place to go, enjoy the workout, get in shape, and, you know, just be better all-around people, better all-around in shape. And hopefully, you know, it'll help a lot of people.
I can't picture getting up 6 a.m. with kids and taking them to the pool. Well, maybe 10 or 11.
Yeah, so the outdoor pool opens at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, SportsCom, the facility opens at 6, and that's the indoor pool and the indoor facility. Yeah. So, yeah, I couldn't imagine. I don't know if anybody could imagine that. That'd be a jolt to the system.
It's early.
It would be. Showing up early with the bell ringing and splashing and stuff with a cup of coffee in your hand might not be as fun.
Yeah, it's early for people that come in early, you know, which is – appreciate them getting up early. And also Patterson opens the same time, 6 a.m. So there are a lot of people up early, you know, going to work.
And you've got a big workout center there, of course, at SportsCom. So I'm sure a lot of people take advantage of that.
Oh, yeah. We have the track upstairs. We redid our weight room here a couple of years ago and got some new equipment in there. And people really enjoy that and have to wait a little bit sometimes for their equipment they want to use. But it's you know, it's a lot of socializing, a lot of talking, a lot of catching up on everything, and I'm sure they'll be talking about the ball game, you know, from last night all day today. So, yeah, it's really a good place.
Well, they call it the Bart Fight Social Hour, is that right?
I give them a cup of coffee, so yeah. it's free, so they enjoy that.
Now, is there like a family pass that people can purchase for the outdoor pool?
Oh, yeah, we have two or three options they can go by. We have a price list there, which I did bring. Somebody did take too long to go through them, but they can give us a call. We can give them all the prices and everything for them. But, you know, we used to do the July 4th out there, as you know, the fireworks. I kind of miss that because I enjoyed the crowd coming in, but it just got overcrowded, and it's, you know, moved out to Medical Center Parkway, which is really a better place, so. But I enjoyed the fireworks shows, really.
And the fireworks, of course, coming up, and that's going to be, what, next week?
Yeah, next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Yeah, we kick off at 4:30, and I've got to say, once again, I think this is the fourth year in a row that we're completely sponsored by Middle Tennessee Electric. So they partnered with us to help us offset the cost of our entertainment and fireworks and have been just a tremendous partner. So I can't say enough about Middle Tennessee Electric and the appreciation the city has for them coming in and partnering with us on this show.
What time does everything get underway, of course, at the fireworks show? And all of this, everything takes place at the fountains at Gateway, right?
Yeah, so we've been there for a number of years during and then through COVID. And after COVID, we just stayed because it's kind of a great area to watch fireworks. And we're really excited. There's going to be some unique parking challenges this year, but I think, you know, we're going to have just paved surfaces open at the fountains. And I know other venues around are going to have parking opportunities. But Susan Hicks is our cultural arts coordinator, and she's done just a tremendous job, her and her team, kind of lining up the talent. And I'll let her give kind of a glimpse of Craig Campbell and what's going to happen.
All right. So what time should folks show up?
People, the music starts at 7:30. Craig goes on at 7:30. We'll have a DJ there before that, so there'll be some music going on all afternoon. But Craig will start at 7:30 to 9, and the fireworks start at 9 o'clock.
Okay, so 9 o'clock is when all the fireworks start, and the concert itself, is that going to be going on throughout the fireworks?
No, once Craig is going to play from 7:30 to 9, and then the fireworks start.
Okay, so directly after he gets finished, that's when the fireworks will begin. Are there other areas where folks can go where maybe they don't have to get into the big crowd and still watch the fireworks?
Yeah, I think all over Medical Center is a great place to watch. We've heard, you know, you can see it from New Vision to, I think some when we worked together during COVID, I think you could even see it from downtown is what Brian said. So it's a great low area of town where you can really, you know, see it from a broader view. But I think anywhere in that Medical Center area, is going to be a good place to see it. And I think, you know, people, just like any town that has a big fireworks show, needs to account for traffic. You know, if they want to come see Craig, which it's going to be a lot of people come to see Craig, you need to get there pretty early. Traffic's going to be, you know, in parking, have a parking plan, look, you know, which venues you might be able to park at, and get out there early, enjoy some music. The Fountains are a gracious host. Scott Graby and his team do a tremendous job. And that just allow us to use that facility to really bring, you know, just a fun evening for Murfreesboro together.
Now, are there a lot of places that are open for dinner and for evening meals, I guess?
Yes, there are. Every restaurant there at the Fountains will be open, and they'll even have some food trucks there for dinner and lunch.
A lot of people bring lawn chairs and blankets and towels and all that.
Yes, they do. They lay out on the in the little field out the behind where the music is going to be playing, and then there's tables and chairs on either side so you can watch the performance, and you can bring your lawn chairs and sit in the lawn area there and watch the performance.
And how big of a fireworks show are we talking this year?
Huge.
Massive.
Every year it gets bigger. Yeah, I think we're about a 25-minute show. We've got a great partner that we work with for our fireworks shows, and they just bring it every year, and they get excited about providing a good show. So it's something, you know, we're excited about. You know, something I'd be remiss if I didn't mention is our partnership with Murfreesboro Police Department as well. They worked so hard leading up to this event, helping us with a traffic plan, implementing that traffic plan, and then just security for the event. You know, it takes relatively few of our park staff to put on this event. Susan and her team do a great job. But it takes a lot of police officers, so we're sincerely appreciative of what they provide for this event.
And if I remember, the fireworks show itself, it's a good 15 or so minutes, 20 minutes long. Isn't that right, or is it longer? 25 minutes
yeah,
long.
Yeah, every year it's gotten just a little bit bigger, and yeah, it's a good show. I think people, it's a money-back guarantee.
No, that's good. That's good.
Because you didn't pay anything. So,
that's
yeah.
right. So do you ever sit in on the actual lighting of the fireworks, and have you done that?
You know, Bart's done it a lot, been down there, and, you know, somebody has to tell them when to go, but it's all done through a computer now, so it's incredibly safe, but to see it from that perspective is really interesting. I know at SportsCom, Bart and I did that together a couple times, and it's fascinating to see.
It's really something how they, you know, you used to think, you know, a fireworks show, they take a match, go around and light each individual firework, but it's they work all day long, and it's usually hot, and it's have a computer board and hook it up one to the right explosive that's going up, you know. But it's really amazing how they put that thing together, you know, one day, and they work all day, and then they're ready to go. They're nervous. They're back there with their hands jiggering.
They're not nervous like it's going to go bad. They just want it to go good.
They're
nervous. Clarify that.
Yeah. They're nervous for the computer board, you know.
Don't kick it over this year, Bart. Yeah, right.
No, we've never had, we hadn't had too many
None.
Things go wrong. None.
So did they used to set it off by just lighting it? I mean, back in the day.
They used to use those switches, but now it's all just done through
a
computer.
Yeah.
So they literally have this all on like a laptop, and they're able to see, okay, well, this is going to go next, and it's going to go up for the next 5 seconds.
It's all a program they put it in.
To the music, too. They go with the music. So it's something. And on the parking situation, I can tell you by experience, you know, Broad Street, a lot of people, if you don't want to get in the parking, can park down Broad back into places that are closed. You know, you can really see it good from Broad Street, too.
And it's a good time for us. You know, there's a lot of gracious businesses that don't, you know, disallow people from parking. So we just encourage people in Murfreesboro to do what Murfreesboro is known for, and just be an exceptional person and pick up trash and don't leave clutter behind. That goes for anywhere down, up and down Medical Center, even at the fountains. Would be just really much appreciated for the businesses who keep their parking lots open.
So do you foresee the fireworks show being somewhere else in the future as we grow in size with more parks and everything?
You know, I could, you know, there's going to be options. I think we always have to evaluate after every year. We evaluate what's happening. We just always look and see what the best way to present, you know, Celebration Under the Stars is. And this year, this is what we feel best in. We'll evaluate next year. But we're pleased with where it is right now.
Again, talking about Murfreesboro Parks and Rec, and we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk even more about different things happening within the city and within the parks. Time right now, 8:37.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas' Restaurants. One of the places I love to eat out the most and still be able to do so and maintain a healthy weight is at Demas's. You can get those options on the menu online at www.demusrestaurants.com. You can make the decisions that you want to make before you come in. We have options ranging from grilled chicken to fish. You can get it with a side of green beans or spinach or even zucchini. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner at Demus's.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
Rutherford County is one of the fastest growing communities in Tennessee. This is Mike Klassen, the general manager at Middle Point Landfill. As a Class 1 landfill, Middle Point accepts non-hazardous municipal solid waste, approved special waste, and commercial waste. We have served this region for 2 decades, providing free disposal to all Rutherford County residents and low-cost disposal to Rutherford County businesses. Learn more at MiddlePointLandfill.com. For public services, we are sustainability in action.
The GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. Now more than ever, count on WGNS. Broadcasting to every nook and cranny of Rutherford County's 618 square miles. FM 100.5, 101.9, and AM 1450. The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Talking about Murfreesboro Parks and Rec. We mentioned quite a few things that are coming up. What else is happening within the parks this time of year?
We have lots of things going on in all of our parks this summer. It's a great place to be. So some of the first things I want to talk about is Splash Out. We have Splash Out coming July the 11th at Barfield Park from 1 to 3:30.
So with Splash Out going on, what does that entail? What happens?
The fire department comes out and brings their great big fire truck and hooks up to the hydrant. The fire hydrant, and sprays water all over the parking lot, and kids come and play in the water.
And for parents listening, we're not talking about full force here. That's sprayed up in the air. Or
they pull the ladder up high and they spray it from really high, so it's a misty water.
And how many kids usually show up for that?
We had about 350 at Siegel in June.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes, it was so much fun.
And that is taking place again today, or when does that take place?
July the 11th.
Oh, July 11th. Okay. So that's coming up, and that's free to attend, just like most of the events.
Yes, it is. We also have a pop-up camp every Tuesday at Old Fort Park. And today we have Roger Day coming to sing for all the children at 10:30. And what we do there is we put up a bunch of tents, and we have arts and crafts from 10 to 1 o'clock every Tuesday throughout the summer.
And are there any other camps that are starting up that people can still sign up their kids for, or are they pretty much all full?
You can always check our website. Most of our camps fill up pretty quickly, so we might have a couple of spots open in various camps, but just check our website if you want to call our office at 890-5333. But in general, most of our camps are already completely full.
Hey, and then I know at Barfield Park, there is a lot to do there. I mean, from mountain biking to the camping even. What all is most popular this time of year, though?
People are doing everything in that park as far as hiking, mountain biking. We have programs going on daily. Disc golf is there. We've got the great playgrounds, a small playground, and then the nice big playground. So that park always has something to offer and is always pretty busy.
And new as of last week, we have some shorter pins on the disc golf course. So kids can play a little bit easier. If you want to play short course, you can take your kids out and they can play the shorter one. You can play the longer one. So that's just new as of last week.
Yeah. The other exciting thing at Barfield is that we've opened some new trails, and we're doing a soft opening right now. But people are able to get on the new trails. It's a little bit less than a mile of some new property that we acquired on the backside of Barfield, and it's just really beautiful. So
do all the trails start around the Wilderness Station?
They do. Yep, that's the main trailhead. And the map is there. We've got staff there to answer any questions as far as, you know, duration, how many miles you want to do. So it's a great resource, but all the trails do start there.
It's a good reminder this time of year to take water with you if you go out and hike.
For sure. That's a good idea.
I guess being under the trees, though, it feels a little bit better than being directly in the sun.
It does. It does. Yep. Trees are important. Provide good shade.
Now, the new section of the new trails, is that on property that kind of goes behind the park, if you were looking at it from the air?
Yes. So it goes down to the south. If you're familiar with the park, it's kind of on the backside of the campground.
And then those new trails, how many miles do those add in total?
It's going to be a little bit under a mile right now, and we will add more, you know, as time progresses. But we wanted to get this first round open, this first phase. And so it makes a loop and comes back and links back into the Red Trail is what we call it, if you're familiar with those trails. So just an added little jaunt there, but you do see some different landscapes. So it's a different feel.
How do you go about deciding where the trails are going to be?
We look at the land, we look at the features and kind of lay it out. We walk it several times, we look at the map and just, you know, kind of incorporate the features that we want for people to see as they're experiencing those things and what makes sense, what flows, that sort of thing.
Is it hard to cut those trails out because some of those woods are pretty dense?
They can be. We utilize some fields that were already there, and so we mowed them in. And then as people use them, they'll get a little deeper and a little more well-used, and we can go back and do some maintenance, and we call them scratching them in, so that really gets down to that earth layer.
And then I'm trying to picture, how many miles of trails do you have at Barfield?
For hiking trails, we have just over 5, so this is going to ease us up to almost 6.
And then, of course, it also connects to the Greenway if you go out towards the front of Barfield Park, and the Greenway literally goes all over town.
It does, so we've got some great connectivity there. And then, of course, the mountain bike trails are back there, too, and we're trying to keep mountain bikers and hikers separate, but, you know, the trailhead for the mountain bike is off Hemlock. But as far as the trail system, there's really a lot of options, you know, between mountain biking and then Greenway and hiking trails.
And is there anywhere where those who are hiking will see or oversee those who are mountain biking?
They can, yep. So the trails come close, and we've tried to sign it really well to keep, you know, the prospective users on their own trails, but you can see each other.
And again, all of this is free. Everything from the mountain biking to the hiking.
It is, absolutely. It's beautiful at Barfield, so get out and enjoy those woods.
Nate, you look eager to talk about something.
No, I was just excited listening about Barfield. It made me want to go out there and bike or something. I was enchanted.
So what else is going on with the parks? And I know you mentioned the pop-up art camp. What is that?
That is where our staff goes out and they have a planned activity, an art-related activity every week, and it changes every week. We've done some pony bead weaving. We've done painting. We've done some marbling. So several different types of art are portrayed there throughout the summer. So it also helps initiate children into the world of art as well and keeps the house clean if you don't want to pull out those paints and all those little beads and stuff.
Yeah, I think art projects done elsewhere are always the best.
Yes, I must agree.
Spray it off.
Outside.
That's right. We also have Movies Under the Stars has already started. It started in June. So every Monday around 8 o'clock, we play a movie at Barfield Park back by the big playground.
That reminds me, we got an email last time we were on the air and we mentioned Movies Under the Stars. And they said that the person who emailed said it was their father, Hollis Harris, who started the Movies Under the Stars. I think they said in the 40s or something.
Yeah.
It is one of our longest running programs in the city.
That's a long time.
Yes, it is.
And I remember Hollis Harris because I remember, I mean, he was still around doing the movies, what, up until the 90s or so, wasn't he?
You know, I don't remember exactly when, but I know it was a long time, and it's something that we've taken a lot of pride in, and that I don't see Movies Under the Stars going anywhere just because of how long it's been going. It's kind of a staple for us, and it's unique to the community.
And I'm trying to envision what type of projector he would have had back when it first started.
Maybe like a hand crank or something. I don't know.
And they would have had a screen of some kind that they set up back then. That would have been a big haul, I guess, just to get it all out.
I think it shows somebody who really cared about doing something fun for families, you know, who gave it their all to do something that's unique. And, you know, it's the type of precedence that really still goes today, you know, with our staff and what we want to do. We want to provide unique experiences, and now they're bigger and better. But, you know, it kind of goes back to that simple principle of just be able to bring something for families to do together.
And the Movies Under the Stars, they take place, is it three nights a week?
Three nights a week right now. We have Mondays at Barfield Park, Thursdays at Siegel Park, and Saturday at the Fountains.
And there is a list of the movies, isn't there, on the city's website?
On the city's website, there is a list of the movies every week. This week, we are showing Finding Nemo.
And it starts roughly about, what, 8 o'clock, 8:15, just depending on sunset?
Just depending on sunset. Sometimes it'll start at 8, sometimes 8:15. We have to be able to have it dark enough to make sure everything's focused on the screen.
Is there going to be a movie this year in the SportsCom Outdoor Pool?
We hope so. Kyle and I are working on a couple of dates for that. We're pretty excited. As soon as we know, we'll have it up on the website.
Shark movies and stuff like that have been shown in the past, I think, right?
We did Jaws one time at Patterson. We've done kind of fish and aquatics movies. But
we did Jaws last year at SportsCom. Yeah. So we're really excited about the different types of movies. I think we're trying to do one for kids and then one for adults. So we're really excited.
I would say Jaws would take on new meaning this year because, what is it, Destin, Panama Beach? Man, there's been an influx of sharks out there.
Hey, don't say that. My son's down there with his friend swimming in the ocean right now, so I'm already nervous there, Scott.
I don't recall that ever being the situation before, but yeah, it little different for sure. Yeah. So what else, as we close this morning, what else is happening within the parks?
Yeah, we got a few projects that we're excited to mention, you know, Veterans Park and where we are with that. We're getting really close to be able to have something really tangible there. But our skate park should be done mid-July at Old Fort Park. That's something we've been working hard on. Got delayed just a little bit on that one, but so we're looking, the last pour for that is scheduled for July 1st, and there'll be a couple weeks of site work, and then we'll get that open as soon as we can.
So that's the middle of next month. The skate park may actually be open.
Yeah, so polish your skateboard or dust it off or whatever you have to do. I don't know.
That's right. I need to get mine out.
You got to find yours, yeah. And then at Old Fort, we're really excited. We're about to start renovation on July 10th. We're going to have a notice to proceed on the original 8 tennis courts. So we're going to renovate that whole system, put in a hitting wall, add some pickleball courts. So it'll be 6 tennis, 6 pickleball, some seating area, new water fountains, new fencing, new lighting, that kind of stuff. And then we're about to bid out the work that's going to happen on the that ball field to the left at Old Fort with that parking area, you know, that low parking area that's traditionally just held water for a long time. But that's a field that, Bart, when was that field built? In the 70s? So... You know, it's one of those things that needs overhaul. And even though Old Fort is, you know, built in the 70s and 80s, it's still one of our most popular parks and really our capstone park. And I always talk about how that was really the first, you know, big park that Murfreesboro leaders at that time really invested in the park system. And it was really, you know, set a trajectory of what we still try to provide today. So and a facelift at Old Fort Park is what we're doing right now.
And back then when Old Fort Park first opened, it felt like you were out in the country almost.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time at Old Fort Park. Did you spend a lot of time out there?
There was no shopping mall out there in the very beginning. I mean, yeah, it was quite different.
Yeah, I remember taking tennis lessons out there when I was a kid.
I did as well.
And doing the camps and stuff. But a lot of people remember that big, tall slide. Do you remember that?
Yeah, the nice, safe slide with the rollers on it.
Yes,
like a conveyor belt almost.
If you weren't bleeding, you didn't have fun that day.
Yeah.
But I always joke around, too. Some people remember right next to that was the water fountain that had the absolute coldest, best water in the world. It had that brick thing around it, but I realized it was just because we were so thirsty and we were out there playing at 100 degrees for hours and hours.
Yeah. Was it just me, or did it feel like, I don't know if you took the school tour of like the bread company or something, but those conveyor belts inside those factories, you know, they were round rollers, and that's pretty much what that slide was.
Yeah.
We need to get that back.
Yeah, I don't think we can.
But Old Fort Park, again, the skateboard Is it going to be a half pipe, quarter pipe? What all is going to be in
that
skate park?
It's a street skate park, so they're more like street features that you'd see. And that was done. That was accumulation of about three public meetings that we hosted at Moab. And we've done a lot of community public input meetings, and I would say that's the best input we provided. They provided to our designer, who is New Line, and really ended up with a great product. We got a pump track for people to use. You can do that on a scooter, on a bike, on a skateboard, and then you know, some street skating areas.
So is the pump track going to open around the same time?
It's all one thing.
And that's, again, mid-July.
Yeah, mid-July is what we're shooting for. But I do encourage people, it's an active construction site. We don't have it fenced off. If you or your kids or anybody is really excited about it, please, please, please stay off of it. It's very dangerous until we get it officially open, because there's just lots of equipment around that it's just not a good thing to be getting an early try on it.
And then going back to Veterans Park, is that, you know, the plan of what is going to actually be built there, or how that park's going to look, is that going to be released in the near future?
Yeah, we've given that out. I've spoken several times about what we're looking like, but, you know, we've got a hard surface play area, destination playground, trail system, an event space. We're really excited. So now we just need to look at, you know, we've got the few options, and we're going to take that to council and talk about funding and see how we want to do that. And we're excited about the options that we have to take to them. We're waiting for just a couple numbers to come back, and we'll get some more information on that soon.
And then that park, that should flow pretty smooth and fairly quick, I would guess, once everything is approved.
Yeah, it's not, you know, there's no, you know, indoor facilities. We've got pavilions, we've got maintenance shop, that kind of thing. So it limits the construction time to less than a year is the anticipation.
Sounds good.
I'm not saying a year from today, because we still have some steps. We got to go, you know, figure out exactly what we want to shoot for building, what elements we want to shoot for building now. Then we've got to go speak with our council, and then we've got to put it out for bid and see where it comes back. So we got a few steps, but we do have, you know, construction documents that are pretty much done, which is a huge feat, and we're really excited about that.
Again, talking about Murphy's World Parks and Rec, and as always, everything that's happening within the parks can be found on the website. It is
MurfreesboroParks.com. Very easy.
Sounds good. Well, thank you for joining
us. Thanks, Scott.